Governor Pritzker has just come to the podium.
You've been where we are now and where we're going. Even though we've moved past the point of pure containment, it remains a priority to further build our testing abilities, in part to understand the presence and spread of COVID-19 across the state. In our last testing announcement on the 24th, we were running about 2,000 tests per day across our three state labs, our four commercial labs, and our 15 hospital labs. Today, we're now averaging around 4,000 tests per day. And in total, we have now run nearly 28,000 tests here in Illinois, with 30 hospital and clinical laboratories now up and running. Within the next 10 days, we believe that we will be up to 10,000 tests per day. Again, we're at 4,000 today. That marker, 10,000, is significant because it's the number of tests per day that the scientists and experts tell us that we need to get a truly holistic understanding of the virus in each of our 102 counties. Right now, we're working with roughly the same data that the majority of states are working with. That gives our state a rough picture of the virus's landscape across our state and in our municipalities by extrapolating the data using modeling largely based on the virus's spread in other countries. This 10,000 a day marker will give us the data to run a more mathematically significant model that offers us improved insight into how well our interventions are working. Ultimately, my goal is to reach a large enough testing capacity where we're able to test everyone who needs a test on a regular basis. But for right now, all of the experts point to 10,000 tests as the standard that we need to achieve. Again, I want to be frank with you. Where we are now is not where I want to be. Every day we aren't hitting 10,000 tests or more is another day that we're not able to get answers that help us get past this current crisis. And to be clear, the loss of essentially the entire month of February in the effort to scale up robust testing and the exponential spread that followed was a profound failing of the federal government. State leaders have spent every day since then trying to correct for this foundational mistake. Nationally, there have been some improvements in testing, but we still have so far to go. The United States is still trailing other countries in testing on a per capita basis, several times over. In all the states, we are working to fill the gap. But the most frustrating part of this gap is it's not just in the past. The White House has promised millions of tests for weeks now, and they're just not here. To be clear, I also welcome the testing capacity when it actually arrives. But I'm not going to wait on promises from the federal government that may never be fulfilled. We need this testing capacity now. So we're building it ourselves in Illinois. Here's how we're getting there. All three of our state labs are running a second shift of technicians to run samples, and we'll be adding a third shift when we can get our hands on an even larger supply of the reagent and viral transport media and other material elements needed beyond the swabs themselves. Second, and this is key, we're acquiring additional laboratory robotics to load our 12 real-time PCR machines at a multi-thousand unit increase in single-day capacity. We're getting our first two machines on loan, and we'll have them up and running by Tuesday, and we expect the others later this week. This technology is crucial as it replaces manual loading and shrinks down the bottleneck for results. We're working with the University of Illinois' Discovery Partners Institute to ensure our staffing and logistics reflects this increased capacity, as well as exploring options with the Illinois State Police to utilize their manpower to move materials and equipment to maximize daily capacity at each of our three state labs. You also might have heard that Friday, Abbott Laboratories, an Illinois company, announced a portable 5-minute rapid test for COVID-19. That same night, I picked up the phone and I spoke with the president of Abbott and the CEO of Abbott separately to ask that Illinois be first in line. I'm proud to say that they expressed their real dedication to taking care of their home state and will be very helpful to us here in Illinois as their production ramps up. In a parallel effort, we're collaborating with our university and hospital partners to ensure Illinois' commercial testing can grow as fast as possible. As for our drive-through testing, we've added a fifth facility since our last testing update. The Illinois National Guard, really, truly an amazing group. The Illinois National Guard has opened up a second state-run drive-through testing facility in McLean County yesterday, joining our Harwood Heights community-based testing site in northwest Chicago and the three federal HHS sites in Bolingbrook, North Lake, and Joliet. Our state-run sites have been a huge success. And in addition to our McLean County site, we're investigating additional areas around the state to launch potential drive-through locations. Symptomatic first responders, healthcare workers, seniors, and all people with underlying health conditions will be able to visit these sites. Still, due to the federal government requiring federal personnel representation at our two state drive-throughs, we remain tied to a 250 test cap at each of these locations. We know there's greater need. At our longer running Harwood Heights site, we've been hitting 250 tests by just the early afternoon and having to turn people away. We'd like to be able to test more than 400 people a day at these sites and think that we can. We have the capacity to do so. So we're pushing the federal government to change their requirements and allow us to test more than 250 people. We're turning people away that we just shouldn't have to. And we ask the federal government to remove their restriction. We're also pressuring the federal government on the return timelines of these tests. The private labs contracted by the federal government are taking 4 to 7 days and sometimes even up to 10 days to turn around results. That is far too long. We're doing it much faster in the state of Illinois with the capacity that we have. Of course, we can't just test, we have to treat. And in order to treat people, we have to increase hospital bed capacity. In the daily updates over the next few days, I'll talk more about our acquisition of PPE, personal protective equipment, and our work to increase hospital capacity around the state. Of course, hospital capacity means nothing without the heroes who staff these facilities. Healthcare workers and first responders are stepping up, working day and night, and they are saving lives. So I want to end this with a message for Illinois' landlords who lease to our medical professionals. We're seeing news stories out of other states about nurses being thrown out of apartments or denied the ability to rent their apartments out of fear of exposure by other tenants. We've not yet specifically heard of instances like that here in Illinois, but let me be very clear, that will not be tolerated in our state. I want to remind everyone that evictions are prohibited during this disaster to begin with, but I also want to make sure that landlords are not inappropriately terminating leases. So let me say this, here in Illinois, we are fortunate to have a very strong community of attorneys that are ready to fight for nurses and for all healthcare workers to make sure that their rights are protected. If any healthcare workers encounter this situation, they should immediately contact the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under law for assistance. Thank you, and now I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Ezeke from the Department of Public Health.
Thank you, sir. Today I am reporting 1,105 new cases and 18 additional deaths. There are now more than 4,500 cases in Illinois, including 65 deaths. As the governor mentioned, additional testing can help us better understand the amount of virus circulating in our community. There are many who are ill with only mild, minimal symptoms, who still may be unknowingly transmitting this virus to some of our most vulnerable populations and introducing it into vulnerable congregate settings. These settings already face additional challenges when it comes to the spread of an infectious disease. They incorporate many components into a single physical location, including housing, food service, healthcare, and workplace. There are many opportunities for COVID-19 to be introduced into and spread throughout these facilities and with quite a rapid pace. In long-term care facilities, there's constant foot traffic, from staff reporting to work, to residents going out for medical visits. This movement allows for the virus to be introduced into and spread throughout the facility. The Illinois Department of Public Health has been working with nursing homes and other long-term care facilities on infection control practices. We are also working on increased health screenings, both for the residents and for the staff, and isolation and quarantine guidance. These exact same challenges exist for correctional centers. As a former medical director in a correctional facility, I know all too well about the traffic of staff going in and out of the facilities daily, detained individuals leaving for court appearances, and the rate of turnover. All of these commingle and increase the rate of infection and its fast spread through these facilities. The Illinois Department of Corrections is taking a number of steps to control the spread of COVID-19 in its correctional centers. Among those steps that are being employed are increasing the provision of hand sanitizer, increasing the use of antibacterial soap, and ensuring that cleaning supplies are adequate to all staff and for the detained individuals. The health of these individuals is critical, and we must closely monitor and institute isolation and quarantine measures whenever necessary. When multiple cases of COVID-19 are identified in a long-term care facility or a correctional center, testing everyone who resides or works in the facilities might not be indicated, but as more testing is available, that will give us the options to test as required. The physicians on site will assess and identify those who need the testing. More testing available across the board will better inform the amount of virus that we're seeing in the community. Where we can take that information and identify specific concerted efforts to decrease the risk in those high-risk areas, ultimately with the goal of limiting infection, limiting spread, and ultimately limiting lives lost. This is how we will get to the end of this pandemic sooner. And now I will summarize these points for our Spanish-speaking population.
And we've been listening to Governor Pritzker's news conference concerning the spread of coronavirus. And Dr. Azike is speaking now. She's the director of the Department of Public Health. And she told us that there have been 1,105 new cases as of today, 18 deaths. That brings Illinois' total to 4,596 total cases with 65 deaths. She also spent some time talking about efforts needed at correctional facilities and long-term care facilities concerning testing, as well as any kind of protective things that are needed for the people who work there. And the governor began his time on testing. He says that it's doubled to 4,000 tests per day. That's from the 2,000 when they began all of these breakdowns. But 10,000 is where they want to be, and that's a mark that experts say we need to be. So he blamed the federal government for the lack of tests that they can do. He is going out on his own to get more testing, his staff and materials, crucial robotic machines. And he called, by the way, Abbott Labs, and you heard about that on Friday. Abbott Labs has come up with a rapid read test, and he asked that Illinois, because they are an Illinois company, be among the first of the states to get those rapid read tests. He got a promise from the Illinois company that they would do the best that they can to do so. And that's about it from the conference. WBBM News Time 259.
News that matters around the clock. Breaking news at any time from the Fifth Third Bank Studios. Fifth Third means business. This is Chicago's all news station, a radio.com station. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
Coming up in the next half hour on News Radio WBBM, Dr. Anthony Fauci offered a bleak prediction about the coronavirus pandemic as U.S. death toll passes 2,200. We'll have more from CBS News. And most Cook County forest preserves are still open, but that could change. A suburban bakery is offering a tasty thank you to area hospital workers. And the need for child care is being addressed for parents involved in the fight against the coronavirus. AccuWeather says it'll be mostly cloudy and chilly this afternoon with strong winds gusting to 55 miles an hour, maybe a stray shower. Temperatures will hold steady in the middle 40s with AccuWeather Real Feel in the 30s. It's 3 o'clock.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles. Some grim projections today by Dr. Anthony Fauci as far as the number of U.S. coronavirus deaths and cases. More from CBS News correspondent Tom Foti.
The government's top infectious disease specialist admits models and projections can be broad and imprecise, but based on what is happening now after a doubling of U.S. fatalities in just a couple of days, Dr. Anthony Fauci raises the possibility of huge U.S. coronavirus casualties.
I would say between 100 and 200,000 deaths. I mean, we're going to have millions of cases.
He was on CNN's State of the Union, on CBS's Face the Nation, the administration's economic hopes from Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
We will kill this virus, and when we do, I have great confidence that the U.S. economy will become roaring back.
Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is one of many governors trying to get more equipment.
And we're going to go back to Governor Pritzker's press conference now as he takes questions from reporters.
Much of what is being done is essential work that's been determined at least as essential under our order. And we don't want anybody to be at risk, but we also want to make sure that we're continuing the necessary work across the state. So please, anybody that's experiencing that should let us know.
Any concern about forest preserves? I mean, of course, President Franklin will talk about it today. Some are being shut down at all. I mean, would you like to see all shut down?
Well, I think, you saw that the mayor shut down the lakefront, and it's because people honestly were abusing the order. They were, showing up on the lakefront and not adhering to any social distancing norms. And that really causes a problem for everybody. According to the Cook County Board President, that hasn't been going on at the forest preserves. And so that's going to be a decision that gets made certainly by, right at this point anyway, by the Cook County Board. I would also add, though, that across the state of Illinois, we have parks and recreation all across the state, and those decisions are being made on a city-by-city, county-by-county basis, and should be by the locals there. And again, though, people should let us know if there are concerns. Most importantly, they should let their local officials know, because those decisions at this point are being made at that level.
And how close are you looking at New York City? I mean, we're a major metropolitan city. They've got some very, very high numbers.
Yes.
We may or may not have seen our peak. I'm assuming we haven't seen it just yet. Are you keeping a close eye on that?
I am keeping a close eye on it. I think all of us are praying for the people of New York City, certainly for the patients there, for the healthcare workers there. And of course, we're keeping a close eye on the numbers, right? Because we're trying to incorporate the numbers from places like New York City, from places like Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, into our modeling for Chicago. And no, we have not hit the peak here in Chicago or in the state of Illinois, and we're going to continue to see an increase, unfortunately, of cases and likely deaths.
All right, we'll go to some questions from online. There have been a lot of reports nationally about the PPE shelf life extension program. Has the federal government let Illinois extend the shelf life of COVID-19 intensive supplies, and how big is that stockpile?
So I might want to allow Dr. Zika to speak about this, but the all of the PPE that we have in the state, anything that is expired or deemed to be expired, is being checked. It's being sampled and checked according to the regulations for extending that shelf life. So we're trying to be very careful about any PPE that's being distributed that has any extension, making sure that we're keeping our healthcare workers safe. I should also add, though, that we're running through PPE at a reasonable clip across the state. We're also acquiring millions of units of PPE. Most of what we are acquiring is being shipped out to locations where they're running through the PPE. So I would expect that in many places they'll be using the PPE that was recently acquired, recently manufactured, and we're going to continue to make those acquisitions. So you'll be seeing even more PPE. But we've checked with all of our local health departments and continued to talk to the hospitals and healthcare centers to make sure that and nursing homes and other locations where we need PPE to make sure that people have what they need and that we're supplying them with anything that they may need, especially in the near future.
What information can you tell us about the nine-month-old who has died? Is it known how the baby contracted the virus? Have the parents tested positive? And what is the status of the other infant who tested positive?
Right. So the investigation of the infant that we reported about yesterday is still very fresh. We are trying to gather all the data before speaking. I know that there's a lot of concern hearing about the death of an infant who also had COVID, and so we really want to get a complete report. I will say that in general, as we've looked at all the reports across the world, China obviously having been able to put out a lot of publications and medical literature, we have not seen infants to have serious sickness or illness, and definitely not death in the past. The common symptoms for kids and children with coronavirus have been really more of cold-like symptoms in the literature that's been published, primarily consisting of fever, a red throat, runny nose. So those are the typical symptoms, not severe pulmonary problems and not conditions that require ICU hospitalization or death. So we know that this is very top of mind for people, and we want to be deliberate and allow the proper processes to take place so that we can give you the best information. Thank you.
And then just may I add that as I said to you yesterday, this was something of deep concern to me because I had not heard of an infant dying of COVID-19 before. And so I looked at the research myself. Dr. Zike, of course, accurately depicted there have been really relatively few infants that have passed away. So few, in fact, that they've been reported each time it's happened in a foreign country. This was the first one I'm aware of in the United States. But I think that just to get past the sorrow of the child passing, I guess I would remind parents out there that this is highly uncommon. I mean, it really is highly uncommon. That isn't to say that every infant is safe, but it just is. It's so uncommon that at least when I started to do the work and listen to the experts about it, I got at least some comfort in the idea that this is not something that we should expect to hear a lot more of, because it's just not happening very often at all.
Some hospitals nationally are continuing to do elective surgeries because they have to worry about their bottom line. How does that fit in with the coronavirus directives in Illinois?
Well, first of all, we had to make space. If there's an elective surgery somebody can put off, then we had to ask people to do that. And we realized that it has a financial impact on hospitals. But I have to say, first, to the credit of the hospitals, that was not their primary concern. When they heard that we were considering it, they understood that we needed to do this. And Many of them, you know, wanted to let us know how quickly they could get to a state where they're not doing elective surgeries. And so I'm very proud of those institutions, and I thank them very much for their willingness. There is a significant financial impact on the hospitals, and that's why the last relief package had a large amount, over $100 billion, that was dedicated to hospitals and health centers, precisely in part because the impact of COVID-19 on hospitals has been, severe. And they're doing the work anyway. They're doing it, and they're losing money doing everything that they're doing, but they're saving people's lives, and I'm so grateful for that. And we're going to work very hard with our federal delegation to help take care of the hospitals that have stepped up. All of them have.
Governor, people downstate need to hear from you in person. Provided you and your staff can travel safely without becoming ill, when will you be back downstate?
Well, I appreciate the question, and I always love to be in downstate Illinois. I was there just a week ago, I think. It seems like about a month or two ago, but that's the way time is moving right now, in Murfreesboro and in Springfield and elsewhere, and in Carbondale. I am not reticent to travel, and I certainly will try to find a moment in the near future. I would just remind you, though, that as the virus has been so severe in northeastern Illinois, in Chicago, in the collar counties, I've tried to make sure that I've been on hand to make decisions here about the thousands and thousands of people that have been affected here, while also looking seriously at the areas of the state like St. Clair and Madison counties, like Jackson County, Peoria, and Champaign, where there have been, there's been a rising number of cases. But I'm glad somebody asked, and I'm always glad to travel, and I will do so sometime in the near future.
The University of Washington projected the COVID-19 apex in Illinois at April 16th and forecasted 2,454 deaths by August. Do those figures and other data in this analysis align with the current state projections?
You know, we have our own statisticians and modelers, along with the scientists and experts here. We have now taken that University of Washington data and melded in some of the conclusions that they reached, looked at the data sets that they had, and tried to make sure that we're doing the right thing in terms of our modeling here in Illinois. We're not concluded. You know, every day there's new information that goes into these models, but I think that it is fair to say that most of the models that I've seen, and we've seen a number of them, show that we'll be peaking sometime in April in Illinois, and we're not yet close to that. We have weeks to go.
Is it a foregone conclusion that our medical infrastructure will be vastly overwhelmed in a few weeks? What are you going to do about it?
Oh my goodness, that is my number one concern, is to make sure that we don't have our medical capacity overwhelmed. But I must say, when you look at New York, when you look at other places in the country, and you see how fast the beds are filling, the ICU beds, hospitalizations, and so on, you can't help but feel that that they too have been running as hard as they can to create capacity and to mitigate and put in orders. Now, I will say that here in Illinois, we from the time that you saw cases in a state to the time that we put in place our stay-at-home order, we were first or among the first to do it. There were earlier cases detected in New York than there were in Illinois, and there was an increase in New York earlier than there was in Illinois. So in terms of the mitigation efforts that we put in place, I am pleased that we were able to be early or at least to do it as quickly as possible, and that has helped us to drop the number of cases that we think will hit the hospitals going forward. But I must tell you that there's not enough capacity today. That is why you see us building out facilities across the state. That's why you see us putting in triage centers. We're building, our National Guardsmen and others are putting up tents and other facilities at tens of dozens of hospitals across the state to make sure that we're able to keep people separate, so there's no that the epidemic doesn't fly through an emergency room, for example. And then we're building out capacity at some hospitals to just literally add beds in and onto facilities that already exist. And then McCormick Place and the hospitals that we're looking to turn on in the next couple of weeks.
This will be our last question. Dr. Zike, if you don't have adequate testing yet and we're already roughly halfway through the stay-at-home order, then how do we measure the rate of transmission? Do we have any evidence to suggest that the spread is slowing?
Right. So that's a great question. And so in addition to testing, we also have the hospital data. Every day we collect the number of people who are admitted with COVID disease, who have COVID-like disease, who maybe haven't had their testing. We're checking the amount of people with these illnesses that require ICU admission, that require the use of a ventilator. And so following those numbers as well, that gives us a track and actual good data in terms of how this is growing and how this is spreading and how our capacity might be reached and how much more we will need. So those data are additional data points that we can use for the modeling that can supplement what we don't have with widespread testing.
Thank you.
All right, just recapping that press conference from the governor. Health officials now announcing 18 more coronavirus deaths. The state total now 65, also 1,105 new cases. The statewide total now sitting at 4,596, both the deaths and number of cases, the most that the state has seen in a single day. Also, Governor Pritzker mentioning that the state is receiving more testing capabilities, currently averaging about 4,000 tests a day. He's hoping to reach 10,000 tests a day very soon. We'll have much more on this update. And again, don't forget, President Trump expected to speak to reporters around 4 o'clock this afternoon. We will also carry that press conference live right here on News Radio. WBBM News Time, 3:15.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood.